Amen. All right, so under today's under the theme today, I'm going to be talking to you about the state of our union with Christ. Glory to God. Amen. The state of our union with Christ. You know, and it is very important to yes, we know we are one with Him. Amen. We have been brought into an indissoluble union. But we need to understand, you know, the howness of it, if there's such a word. Glory to God. Amen. And you know, the Apostle Paul presents to us, can you put up for me 1 John chapter 1? The Apostle Paul actually gives us what I call a term that I call the theological shorthand of the gospel, and that is the term in Christ. Glory to God. And I said to you, he uses that term over 164 times in different forms, amen, to describe what we are, who we are, glory to God, and what we have in Christ Jesus, glory to God. Let's look at what Apostle John, who was there with Jesus, says. He says, that which was from the beginning, amen. Does it sound like John chapter 1 verse 1? Yeah, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of what? The word of life. So he was speaking of their witness of Jesus Christ. Amen. They were with him. Praise the Lord. They saw him. They heard him. Tell them, hey, that he was that life. Glory to God. They heard the things he said firsthand. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. I want you to see what John says. For the life was manifested. Praise the Lord. What life? He uses the definite article. Glory to God. He said the life was what? Manifested. And we have seen it. The term it there is what? In parentheses, it means that it was not there in the original, right? The translator put it there for clearer, you know, for clarity. And bear witness and showed unto you that eternal life. He said, hey, we saw him. That it was that eternal life we heard about that became flesh. We touched it. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Glory to God. Amen. You know, I told you that Jesus was not born. He manifested. Glory to God. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have what? Fellowship with us. Glory to God. And truly, hear what he says. And truly, our fellowship is where? Where's our fellowship? And with whom? The Son. Glory to God. So for those who say fellowship can't be broken, he said, our fellowship is with the Son and the Father. Glory to God. If it is with you, it will break. Glory to God. He said, relationship cannot be broken, but fellowship. Listen, those don't sound true. Those are religious jamborees. Glory to God. He says, our fellowship is with who? The Father. And what is the term fellowship? Koinonia, glory to God, and it is from the Greek word, the root word koine, amen. It means common, praise the Lord. All right, koinonia, communion, praise the Lord. So it means what is common to one is common to another, glory to God. So he speaks of a sharing and interpenetration, glory to God, a oneness that is shared between the Father and the Son. Glory to God. Amen. So, these guys had a view of Christ they had an external view of Christ. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they had an external view of Christ. I'm heading somewhere. But when Jesus Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, Amen. The Bible tells us he was taken to the land, to the island of Arabia, where Jesus appeared to him and taught him for 3.5 years and reveals to him something called the sacred secret, the mystery, amen, that which was in the heart of the Father before the foundations of the world. Amen. And then the Apostle Paul now comes with an inside knowledge of Christ. He presents the CT scan of Christ. You know what a CT scan is? He tells you what is going on inside real time. Amen. Yeah. So, and then he says something very, very powerful in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And that's where we're going to base our study on. So, we're going to look at it. I will say some things and then I'll come back here and then we'll conclude. Praise the Lord. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. But Paul of Tarsus, the last time we remembered, you were crucifying, you were persecuting the church. You were not even there when Jesus walked the earth. Amen. Paul says, I know. I am crucified with Christ. But Paul, you are not among the 12. You did not witness his crucifixion. You are not even part of the 120 or the 360 or the 720. Praise the Lord. You did not assist at the cross. Glory to God. Paul says, I know. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. He said, nevertheless, I live. Glory to God. He said, yet not I. Tell your neighbor, yet not I. So the Apostle Paul redefines the I principle. Glory to God. Amen. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God. He says, Paul of Tarsus, you never had faith. He said, yes, I know. Jesus had faith, so I live by his faith. Glory to God. Amen. How? Who gave himself for me? Who loved me and gave himself for me? This is what the Apostle Paul says. So, he presents the CT scan, the x-ray, you know, of the man in Christ. What is happening in real time? Glory to God. Amen. So, today we are going to be looking at how the state of our union with Christ, amen. I mean, what? You see, if what Christ did is external to us, then is of no benefit to us. And we must, I was having a discussion with Chris yesterday. Now, we must transcend that, you know, that knowledge that we already have of salvation. That's, yeah, I don't think it's sufficient when you think of salvation in, you know, the light of that, when you have that legalistic perspective of salvation where I owe the debts, I could not pay. Jesus paid the debts he did not owe. Glory to God. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Glory to God. Amen. So, he did not just come to die and he leaves you to maintain whatever he has done. Glory to God. And he has gone back and is waiting, watching for who he's going to punish. Then why did he save in the first place? Glory to God forevermore. So I told you that as a great physician, he did not merely prescribe the cure. You know, he's a great physician, right? Yeah. He did not merely prescribe the cure. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says that by his stripes we were what? Healed. In other words, He stood in the seat of the patient. He became the patient. Glory to God. Amen. And in becoming what we were, amen, he exchanged what we were, praise the Lord, for what he was, amen. But all that he did within his one person. Amen. And that which he did was a nature to nature transaction. Glory to God. So he took up our human nature within his one person. Amen. And I told you that whatever divinity touches is healed. Glory to God. And whatever is united with God is saved. Yeah, somebody didn't catch that. I said, whatever divinity touches is healed. And whatever is united with God is saved. As long as is united with God. Glory to God. Amen and amen. So, and I told you about something called the scandal of particularity. Did I say anything about that? Yeah. Or the scandal of the incarnation. Amen. I told you about something called the principle of thisness. Like this. THIS. How many of you went back to look it up? I said, go back and look it up. So it doesn't look like I'm bamboozling you with things that you cannot relate with. Glory to God. So in other words, God was particular about man. So particular about man that he gave up everything that he was and as he is, but never lost what he was and he had. Glory to God. So he was particular about man. So the uncircumscribed God, glory to God, what does it mean to be uncircumscribed? He could not be confined, the God who cannot be confined to a location. He becomes localized in man. Praise the Lord. So God who is everywhere cannot, he's everywhere and he's the center of everywhere and he's whatever. Amen. He became localized in man. Become so particular in man. Glory to God. Amen. He became localized in man. But then, how did this happen? Praise the Lord. Just as Adam was the man in whom all men fell. Glory to God. Now, if you understand this, there are certain statements you not make. Ah, it's Adam and Eve that caused it now. You are not a member of our church, if you say so. Glory to God. We are not associated with Adam anymore. Amen. I'm man 2.0. Glory to God. I'm the man in Christ. Glory to God forevermore. So, Jesus Christ becomes man. Amen. But not just any man. He becomes the man in whom man will not be found. So that such that in the eyes of God, when God thinks about you, he sees you in Christ. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. So, and I told you that God decided that he would not be God without man anymore. Praise the Lord. This was the eternal resolve of God. Amen. And so in order for that to happen, God had to now take an action. Praise the Lord. And that action was actually his incarnation. Praise the Lord. And his incarnation would change things permanently for both God and man. Such that man, God will no longer exist without man, and man will be unable to be human without God. I don't like the way you're looking at me. Praise the Lord. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Nigerians like Bible very well. Genesis chapter 1. Get the explanation. I'm wondering what people were saying. Pastor Jeff, imagine when Paul was saying, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If it were in our time, somebody said, Paul, show us where it was. It was not written. Nahim writer. Glory to God. Okay, let's go. I don't want to go back, but the way you're looking at me is making me want to go back. Let's go back. Okay, let's look at it. Look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man how? Let us make man how? And after what? Let us make man how? And after what? What does this mean? And I gave you a very simple example about the hand glove. Right? Oh, so you are the God glove. So, the glove is made in the image of what? So this one means that, okay. So the glove was made to contain the hand. Right? So man being in the image of God meant, God says, hey, let us make man so that man will be able to contain us. Glory to God. Okay, let me allow that just sink a bit. This is why God created man. So that man, I want to clear, and after this, I will not speak about this for the rest of this year. There's a confusion. I've had several talks about, okay, the man in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 27 is different from the man in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. They said, the man he created is different from the man he's formed. Shut up. The man that was formed from the dust of the earth was supposed to contain him. Glory to God. Amen. And we said the image is static, right? But the likeness is what? Dynamic. Praise the Lord. So it was from the likeness that man turned. Amen. And man turning away from acknowledging that he was in the image. So acknowledging that you are in the image is what the likeness is. Glory to God. Because that happens in the realms of the soul. So when, oh God, the Bible says that he made man, formed man from the dirt of the earth, from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man, and man became what? A living soul. Man becoming a living soul meant man now had the capacity to, of his own will, glory to God, receive God. God. Are you getting this thing? Praise the Lord. Else, why would man? Oh God, he's so strategic. He's the extraordinary God. Amen. Now, I just knew it now. Praise the Lord. He makes man, breathes into man, amen, so that man would of his own will, because he had to receive. Glory to God. He has to receive the image, and he's receiving the image and acknowledging the image is what the likeness is. Praise the Lord. So, when you take the glove and you squeeze it and keep it like this, does it have a form? Huh? Does the glove have an expression? So what gives form? So, that is your work. That's why God made you. Glory to God. So that God can be seen. Praise the Lord. So that people can see and see his dominion. They see his love. Glory to God. So acknowledging this will sanctify your actions. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Say with me, I have understanding. Say, I have understanding. So, why did Jesus come? Glory to God. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to give us an exegesis. Who can give me another term for exegesis? An explanation or an interpretation, glory to God, of who God is behind the scenes. Okay, let's look at John chapter 3. He was talking to Nicodemus. Verse 13. Let's look at it. Verse 14. Go back to verse 12. Verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. He says, "And I've told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Jesus says, "I'm just giving you physics made easy. Key points. Glory to God. I don't understand." Okay. Let me tell you one now. Can you relate? Can you just put yourself in the story? After this, say, okay, let me say something now, for example. Next verse. It's okay, for example. "No man has ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven right now." Praise the Lord. I'm sure Nicodemus was like, "God, I would just stay for house today. I would not come out." Amen. Praise the Lord. "No man had ascended to heaven, but he." Yes, it's not, the H is not capitalized, right? "But he." But that sounds definite. Glory to God. "That came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is" what? Praise the Lord. God, help me. I don't want to digress. I'm already deviating from my course. All right. It says the Son of Man. So Jesus Christ, as Son of God, amen, praise the Lord, he becomes man, glory to God, to represent man in man as the man should be before God. Glory to God. Okay, in very simple terms, Jesus Christ came to reveal to us what we ought to be before God. Glory to God. Amen. That's why he came. He came to show us how the sons of men ought to live as sons of God. Glory to God. Amen. So Jesus says, "Hey, no man has ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven." Glory to God. "And even the Son of Man, which is" where right now? "In heaven." So what was Jesus saying to Nicodemus? Jesus was pointing to the fact that he was pointing to something known as the self-emptying of God. Glory to God. So God left all his, he left his office, praise the Lord, left his seat, left heaven, praise the Lord, amen, came down, glory to God, yet he poured out himself into man on earth, and he did not diminish in heaven. So it was all of him here, all of him there, glory to God. So in other words, there has come here, and here is now there. So here is there, and there is here. So now, if you understand this, it will redefine your idea and your concept of, I don't call it heaven, but for now, permit me to call it heaven. You will stop viewing heaven as some post-mortem destination, as a place you escape hell in order to make. Glory to God. Amen and amen. So, in other words, I started by saying to you that what Christ did was not external to us. If what Christ did was external to us, in other words, it has no benefits to us. Praise the Lord. Christ did not just come and then give you salvation and then allows you to go back and then you now maintain the salvation that he gave to you. Christ did not come to give us salvation. Christ is our salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the one Christ is the whole Christ, and in him, God and creation are not separate. God is not separate from his creation. Amen. In fact, he is the one that holds all of creation together. Amen. Yeah. Okay. I said we're going to be talking about the state of our union with Christ, right? Okay, can you give me 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19? So Jesus is our Savior, right? But how does he save us? Praise the Lord. Amen. And what does he save us from? And what did he save us for? Glory to God. Yep. I said, how did he save us? Right? He saved us by joining us to himself. Praise the Lord. And what did he save us from? He saved us from sin. Praise the Lord. Now, sin, the term hamathia, if you break it down to its lowest common denominator, glory to God, it means the mistaken identity. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So Jesus came to save us from that sense of I am not. Glory to God. That's what he came to save us from. And then what did he save us for? He saved us for sonship. Glory to God. For behold, 1 John 3 verse 1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, we're still coming back here, that we should become what? The sons of God. That is what he saved us for. So what he saved us for supersedes what he saved us from. He saved us from sin, mistaken identity, glory to God. Yeah. And then gives us a new identity, glory to God. And how does he do this? By joining himself to us. Now let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. Said to which that God was in Christ. So he says the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. He says all of that was God in Christ reconciling what? The world unto what? Himself. Praise the Lord. See, it was God as in Christ. So it was God in Christ himself. Taking what will have been our end. Glory to God. In his death and in his resurrection, he turns it into a whole new beginning. Glory to God. And he has brought us into the dawning of a new day. A day without evening. Glory to God. It is called the day of Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting? I love God so much. I said to you that God is a perfect God, right? And a perfect God can only conceive a perfect plan. And he works so perfectly well that he takes the imperfections of man and turns it out for the utmost fulfillment of his perfect will or his perfect plan. Let's look at Genesis. In Genesis, there was the tree. Glory to God. There was the man. Praise the Lord. So, the tree, which was this cause of man's fall. Praise the Lord. Isn't it interesting that on the cross, he takes the same implement of the fall. He took the same man. Glory to God. And he took the same man, and he takes the same tree, and turns the tree this time around. Praise the Lord. Listen. For those of us who think that God always wants to do something new, He doesn't do anything new. It is always His plan. It has been His plan all along. You think the tree was there for nothing? The tree was there because of the cross. Glory to God. And in fact, Adam was actually the inverse image. Let me explain. When you take a stamp, praise the Lord. When you take a stamp, you know a stamp, right? A rubber stamp. When you go to cut it, you wanted to write the access point on the stamp. Eh? When you look at the stamp, are you able to read the access point? Why? Glory to God. So, but though that stamp looks like it doesn't make sense, but that stamp, amen, in the mind of God was Adam, and so the real image, God had that stamp with the image in mind. So when the artist goes to cut the rubber stamp, what does he have in mind? The image. Praise the Lord. So, who told you God was not aware that Adam was going to fall? Amen. He was aware. Although he did not preordain it, he did not foreordain it. Glory to God. Amen and amen. So we have to take it next. So he says that it was God and Christ. Let's look at the scripture properly. He said, to wit that God was in Christ. So where was God? And in Christ, he was reconciling the whole world. Only Christians, only pastors, only those who did I surrender all. The whole world. He said he was reconciling them to where? And where was he? Did God succeed? How do we know whatever he starts, he finishes? In fact, he finishes as he starts. Glory to God. Amen. And how does he do it? He tells us, look at the modus operandi of God. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Glory to God. Amen. So all of humanity right now, this may sound unreligious, but it's the truth. All of humanity right now is in Christ. Including that guy who is somewhere robbing right now, even as we speak. Because the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling what? Huh? Listen, the cross was actually God's yes statement. Huh? About you. Amen. But then, even though it is God's yes statement, it is also his no statement concerning you. I will explain. Do you understand what I mean by yes and no statement? On the cross, God said yes concerning you. Amen. He approved you by concluding, amen, about you. He sees you righteous, sees you justified, sees you complete in him, sees you as his son. But then his no statement is that he does not take up your mistaken identity, your assumptions, your opinions. He does not agree with it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he tells us that on that cross, it was God who was in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. He says God was where? And where was Christ? And what did all of this happen? On that cross. So, who came down? In John chapter 3 verse 13. In the incarnation. It was God. The word. The logos. The term word there is the term in the Greek logos. And we said the term logos speaks of the self-awareness of God. Amen. And he says it was that self-awareness of God, which is God himself, in John chapter 1 and verse 14, tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So God was in Christ. And in doing this, he carried man. Praise the Lord. He carried man in reconciling man. He did not do it outside Christ. Where was God? In Christ. And it was within Christ that he reconciled man. Now, can we look at the, the contemporary sense of the word to reconcile, reconciliation? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Can we look at the finance? Let's look at finance. That's in accounting. When we say you're trying to reconcile figures, praise the Lord. Yeah. So, I'm not an accountant. Amen. You have a record here. You have another record here. So, you want to be sure that what you have here is what you have here. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, God was in Christ. Praise the Lord. Reconciling man, trying to ensure, amen, that God and man were on the same page as God and Christ was in the same page. Amen. However, even though God sees you as so, praise the Lord, he does not agree with any contrary opinion that you may have. Hallelujah. God. So, Jesus prayed a prayer. And it's in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 20. John 14, verse 20. I want to show you something. Three aspects of this union. At that day, he says, you shall know, praise the Lord, that I am in my Father, and ye in me, praise the Lord, and I in you. Glory to God. Amen. Can you read it for me again? One, two, and go. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Glory to God. So Jesus was speaking of a threefold union. He was making a statement of union. So he was saying, Father equals to what? Son, and then equal to you. So it is okay to say Father equal to you, the Son equal to what? Glory to God. Right? Do I have mathematicians there? Okay, praise the Lord. Now, let's look at this union. He speaks of threefold oneness here. Number one, he said, you shall know that I am in my Father, speaks of the Trinitarian oneness, the Trinitarian union. Praise the Lord. Glory to God forevermore. That's the Trinitarian union. And within that union, the Son is not the Father is not the Son. However, they have the same essence, the same usia. Praise the Lord. And I explained to you in the School of the Spirit how that the root is not the stem is not the plant. However, it's one plant. Glory to God. Amen. Then he says also, and you shall know that I am in the Father, right? Secondly, and you were in me. That is something known as the Christological union or hypostatic union. Okay, leave the words. Let me explain. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So Jesus Christ, it is one person as Son of God, truly divine, amen, carries you, humanity, within his own nature, within his one person, praise the Lord, sharing his divine nature with you, and your human nature does not exist anymore. Why? Because he, through that union, he heals your human condition. Praise the Lord. That is the human nature. However, we within that same person of Christ are human persons within his divine nature. Your will, your intellect are still intact. Jesus washed away your sins, not your brain. Do you understand? You still exist, but our mode of existence now is now within the person of Christ. Glory to God. So that's what is called the Christological union. Amen. So if any man be in Christ, though he still has his dreadlocks on, though he still has his punk on, he still has his all back on, her attachments on, praise the Lord. He says that man is a new creature. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. That's not my focus. I want to go back to the scripture where we started. So I'm trying to explain all of this. Then, the next one here, he says, and what? I in you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is the mystical union of Christ in the believer. Glory to God. Now, it was in the light of all of this that Apostle Paul makes the statement that he made in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Praise the Lord. Let's go back there. So, I took all of this pain to bring us to understand what I want to say here. So, Jesus says, I am with my Father, right? I am in the Father, right? And I in you, and then you in what? Me. Glory to God. So, Jesus is saying that we cannot talk about the Godhead without you. Did I make it up? No. Glory to God. If you understand this, even the way you pray will change. Oh God, my Father, why has thou forsaken me? Do not allow people to ask me, where is my God? Nonsense prayer. Some people even threaten God. God, if you like, you do it. If you like, now you will shame yourself. For me, I know God no go shame me. Praise the Lord. This sounds funny, but that is how a lot of us pray. Oh God, remember me. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Bunkum. What's your problem? He said, never means what? Wait. He said, he's a very present help where? Wait. He's a very present help where? In trouble. It means that he's more present than the trouble. The trouble came late. Glory to God. The trouble came and met both of you there. So, Paul says, I am. Somebody say, I am. Do you know who I am? I will show you who I am. Now, the term I am there in the Greek is the term ego. With me, that's the way you get the term ego. Glory to God. Paul says, my ego. Everything, every definition I have of myself outside Christ, he said, was crucified with Christ. The sin conscious me. Glory to God. Let me tell you what sin is. Sin actually means every activity that comes from that consciousness that you have, that mistaken identity that you have. So every activity that comes from that consciousness that is contrary to who you truly are. Right? You stole. Praise the Lord. Are you supposed to steal? No. Are you a thief? No. So why did you steal? That activity is a false version of you. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the prodigal son. He was a son. And once a son, always a son. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that he went and he took on what? A mistaken identity. Carried out activities. The Bible says he joined himself with gamblers. Was he a gambler? Praise the Lord. That's what some of us are like. Glory to God. Paul says every false version of me is crucified with Christ. Glory to God. They depressed me. Where is it? There are sometimes when you hear some believers saying, Pastor, I'm so depressed. I don't do counseling, no. Most of you know here. I don't do counseling for anybody in this church. Come for church service. And you get the eternal counsel of God. Praise the Lord. Most of the time when people come to you for counseling, they have already made up their minds what they want. Let it not be like they did not tell you. Glory to God. Someone said, Pastor, there's this job I got, so I'm actually thinking, what you think? I said, okay, but I don't think you should take this job, really. You know, but the guy now sent the text, Pastor, I went back after deep thoughts. I thought about it, so I'll be resuming work tomorrow. I thought he came to me for counseling. I thought about it. Why did he think about it before coming? Praise the Lord. So Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. That religious me, that part of me that estimates myself, glory to God, based on my performances, is what? Crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, I still look like me. I've not changed. Praise the Lord. He said, yet, it is not I that lives anymore. Glory to God. Hold on. There is transformation. Praise the Lord. Sorry, there's salvation. And there is transformation. Glory to God. We ought to be transformed. It is not, yes, you are saved. Glory to God. But the fruit of redemption should be seen in you. It ought to be evident. Not for anybody, but if you have a full hold on it, the results will show. That's why you cannot say you are full of the Holy Ghost and you talk anyhow. No. You shout. You don't talk like that. There's a way you talk. You should be kind in your words. Some people are so, when some people start, they say, make we leave Bible one side. I will show you the other side. You don't have any other side. Your side is Christ. Glory to God. You know, some people, when they say, hey, you know, when they start that thing, you better run away. God, I receive person for church quiet. Some people are like that. Paul says that you is what? Though when we see you, we still remember and we are afraid. We write the last one. But Paul says, hey, I know the thing again. I'm crucified where? He said, nevertheless, I live. I may not look like I've changed. Praise the Lord. Amen. In fact, just come to think about it. There were those who Paul killed. Right? When it was the Saul of Tarsus. You think when he was preaching and probably the woman's husband, the man who Paul killed, his wife now saw Paul. I want you to understand the kind of resistance that Paul had. So you finish killing my husband, finish. You're not going to tell me if any man is in Christ. Think about it. Praise the Lord. In fact, there were people who vowed. There was a sect called the Sakari Brotherhood. I think so. Yeah. I hope I got the name right. Yeah, I think the Sakari Brotherhood. They vowed not to eat until they killed Paul. I'm sure in Paul's case, they fasted themselves to death. Whenever they vowed to kill anybody, they went into a fast. And they did not eat until they killed the person. Glory to God. So, can you just imagine this? Paul says, after I killed your uncle, I killed your pastor, he now comes and writes you a letter. No wonder most of the time he wrote. Most of these things were letters. Amen. Wife of late Mr. Pius on the Antiochian church. Sorry, I'm now crucified with Christ. Amen. You think the woman was going to listen? Paul says no. He said, yet not I, but Christ. It's not Christ who lives in me. Glory to God. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by depending. Can you give me, let's look at Amplified. Let's see what Amplified says. Oh, just look at what it means to walk by faith. Faith does not mean to strong your face. Praise the Lord. You see, I have been crucified with Christ. In him, I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live it by faith in and by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust. He's not saying, God, if I do it again, kill me. No. We acknowledge that he has done on our behalf, in our place, in our benefit, and that consciousness is what now sponsors our actions and our thoughts. Glory to God. That is true transformation. Yes, we have received the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the message which we preach, the gospel, message of grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but grace has to be evidenced by transformation. I told you, grace that is not evident by transformation is not grace. Praise the Lord. Amen. You don't live here and then you go and start behaving like you're not a member of this church, like you have not sat under this message. Amen. He says, who loved me and gave himself up for me? Christ lives in you. Glory to God. And you have to walk in this consciousness. In closing, I have 2 more minutes. Romans chapter 12. I'm doing this because after today, we're not looking at this series again. We have to move to something else. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. That was where we began this journey, right? Let's look at Romans. So Paul now tells them, he says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by in the mercies of God, in view of God's mercy, that you now present your bodies. Remember, Paul says, the life which I now live in my body, he said, it is Christ living through me. Glory to God. So Paul, see, I need to get where Paul was coming from. So he says, I beseech you, brethren, I place you under sacred invocation. Glory to God. That you substantiate that your bodies are what? Living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. He says to acknowledge this is your true spiritual worship. Amen. That is worship. Acknowledging that Christ, that your bodies are indwelt by God. That your body is indwelt by God. He said that is worship to God. Worship is not that song you sing that makes you want to cry. That's slow song. Amen. Paul tells us to acknowledge that God indwells your body. He says it's the root of all, that is the beginning of transformation. Amen. And in verse 2, he now says, and be not conformed to this world. So be not conformed to this Jewish way of viewing God as though God lives outside of them. This Jewish way of holding a perception of God as living external to them. You must come to the point where you walk in the consciousness that God lives in your body. Praise the Lord. He says this is how you'll be transformed. He says you ought to renew your minds. Exchange this mindset for the other. He said that is a renewing of mind. Glory to God. Amen. So this is the consciousness that we must possess. Say with me, God lives in my body. You know, Apostle Paul, he says, what? Or don't you know that your bodies, that you are the temple of God, right? Your bodies are the temple of God and that His Holy Spirit lives in you. He lives in you. We are the abode of the activities of God. Amen. God carries out His activities through our bodies. But if you do not present it, if you do not substantiate it, amen, there's not much that God can do. Glory to God. In fact, to acknowledge it is to walk in health. Amen. That's the solution to cancer. That's the solution to fibroid. Walking in that consciousness that God lives in you. Just think about it, Pastor Jeff. All they needed to, they assumed that God was in a box, but God was not there. That they acknowledged it as so, that they saw it as so, was the power over every adversary in victory. I mean, in battle. Amen. That was the inverse. But we are the true image. Glory to God. Be upon your feet. Say with me, Christ lives in my body. Father, we give you praise and glory. Oh, just lift up your hands and thank Him. Thank Him. Because the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you in bodily form. We are the full expression. We are the expression of divinity. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, as you carry out your daily activities, as you engage in the mundane things of this world, that this becomes your reality. Father, we give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we have prayed our sons. Amen. You may be seated. Have you